and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Crown Lifters Limited Q2 H1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karim Jararia, Managing Director from Crown Lifters Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi people. This is Karim Jararia, Chairman and Managing Director of Crown Lifters Limited. I welcome you to our first con call. We are doing this for the financial year 2025 half-yearly presentation, which we have already given. We are delighted to announce our strong quarterly and half-yearly results. The company has navigated the challenges of the monsoon quarter effectively, even though crane occupancy rates were not at the peak. Some of our cranes were under maintenance, contributing to increased expenses. Among our fleet, two, three older cranes required substantial upkeep, but post-maintenance, they are expected to have a job worthiness of four, five years, ensuring continued operational efficiency. In the first quarter, we faced headwinds from heat waves and the slowdown due to elections, yet we successfully managed to overcome these challenges. The extended monsoon led to a delayed start for the new season, resulting in the need to kick off multiple projects simultaneously in the third quarter, especially post-Diwali, which is expected. Looking ahead, we are anticipating another favorable season and are preparing for this by adding new cranes, focusing on long-term projects that promise better returns on investment. Additionally, we are working towards strengthening our infrastructure by developing smaller parking nodes and expanding our offices and professional network. For current financial year, our CapEx target is around 55-60 crores, out of which we have already done 43 crores. Additional new CapEx will be backed by warrant funds and debt and our in-house cash flow. These efforts aim to enhance our operational capabilities and bolster our professional strength, positioning us well for future growth. I will give back this to Sejal, and Sejal, kindly open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swapnil Kabra from SK Enterprise. Please go ahead.
Hi sir. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I can see from our presentation that we are now focusing on mid-size cranes. So what would be the average cost of these cranes, and how would these cranes change their EBITDA margins and rental yields?
Okay, so when we call it mid-size cranes, we call it from the capacity, say, 100-ton and above cranes, and they would be around 300-ton capacities. So anything between 100 to 300-ton cranes capacities are called mid-size cranes. And I will also clarify here what is called smaller cranes. So anything below 100, we classify. There's no government classification, but we classify it below 100 tons. 100-ton and below is smaller cranes. 100 to 300-ton, we classify as mid-size crane range. And above 300-ton, we would consider as that higher capacity range. Cranes going above 300 have additional accessories, okay, and additional expertise in that crane size. And that is why we call it higher capacity cranes. So the mid-size cranes, which we are targeting, is because there are more sectors that are being opened for projects. So these are the metros, bullet trains, coastal roads, ports, railways, airports. These are the projects which are coming in large. Even there are a few refineries, cement, steel, and the mid-size cranes are required by almost all projects, okay? So bigger-size cranes are required by few sectors, smaller cranes by few sectors. The mid-size is always running between all the kind of projects. So they are called the higher capacity cranes in the smaller projects. They're called the mid-size cranes in the mid-size projects, and they are called the smaller size in the higher capacity projects. For example, in the wind sector, where we have an 800-ton working, the supporting cranes are 110 tons and 160 tons. So in that project, they're called as small cranes. But individually, if you calculate, they're called as the mid-size cranes. So there are more projects which are coming in, and we anticipate that we'll be getting more and more orders. Like if you have seen, we had placed orders for two units of 260 tons, two units of 100 tons, and latest we have placed order for two units 150 tons. And these were, as we placed the orders, they were absorbed for long-term projects. All our projects are 1 year above. So this projects are for like 2 years, 3 years, what are we focusing right now on, longer-term projects. And due to that, we are looking at good ROI because we're getting all 12 months of business from these sectors. So generally, it's a 10-month cycle, okay? Every crane between two projects, it gets transported from one project to the other project and from there to other projects. So there's a churn time in between. When we are getting 2-3 years of project, we're looking at a better ROI because now we are getting a 12-month complete business in that cycle.
All right. Understood, sir. Sir, and do we also plan to enter into the oil rig space in future? Because there are only handful players here in this segment.
So see, oil rig is completely a different ballgame. It's not crane. So oil rig platforms are built by, in India, I would say, our larger client, which is L&T, Larsen & Toubro Limited, their modular fabrication yard in Kattupuli and Hazira, Surat. These are the plants where they are building these ONGC platforms, oil rig platforms. They are also doing for Saudi Aramco, Thailand Oil Company, and all these companies. They build there. These are floated back into the sea, and then they are cranes placed there for years and years because this is ever-going drilling project, right? So these cranes are cranes which are not crawlers, but they are cranes which are fixed on the oil rig platform. Only the upper of the crane is fixed on it, like you see the shipping cranes, for example, the port cranes, which are just fixed there to empty the shipping vessel. Exactly these kind of cranes are based on the oil rig platforms. So when they are based there, now these cranes are bought by ONGC themselves. They will not be rented by us. They will not be doing that because they are all 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and long, long time these drills are not coming back for maintenance. So those cranes particularly are different kind of cranes which they have their in-house bought cranes. They will not rent it.
All right. So understood, sir. I'll join the queue again.
So, yeah, so fabrication, we would give cranes for fabricating these oil rig platforms. You see in our presentation, there's a picture also of one of the fabrication oil rig platform pictures, which I also post on LinkedIn. If you have seen it, you'll see those oil rig platforms are being made and fabricated. So we are helping in production of those platforms, but not placing cranes on those platforms.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dolly from Niveshya. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. I have a few questions. So first of all, I wanted to understand our yield structure. Like according to our deck, it's around 2.5 to 3% monthly. Where it's different for different players in the industry. So I wanted to understand how the formation of cranes like we have that we've mentioned, like a lattice boom, telescopic boom, aerial work platform, how it determines our yield. Like which different cranes have different types of yields. I wanted to understand that, how it works.
The yield is generally defined not exactly by the crane, but of course the demand and supply, right? If there is a demand and supply in a particular kind of equipment, definitely for that shorter period where there is shorter supply, the yields will be higher. That is one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is you have better margins in a very, very short-term project. Say, for example, if you're going to rent a crane for me for 2 years, then definitely there is a yield which is differently quoted, right? The yield to our earnings will be different because we are getting a 12 months business for 2 years. But if somebody is asking, if you say hypothetical, my crane is in Mumbai, and somebody will say, I want to do a job in Goa for 1 month. Okay. So in that pricing, if you see the yield is going to be higher because it's a short-term job. It will go there, complete the job, and then again be vacant. So in one of the quarter, for that particular crane, the yield will be high. But in the second quarter, there is no job maybe in Goa region. So we'll have to move back the crane to another region or find another project. So that will again be a gap in between, right? So the shorter term projects shows a higher yield, but because of the gaps in between the projects and the time from one project to another project where it is moving, at that given time, you lose that rentals. You're not making any rentals that time. So what we decided over the years and what we have learned over the years, that an average yield between 30 to 36% is a good average yield we can get. Sometimes in a shorter project, we make 48%, 60% also, but then there's a gap. There's a gap because Now the crane is required in Delhi. The Goa crane from Mumbai, they would give us the transportation, or they would make us compete with somebody from Haryana or from Punjab or somewhere. So now I have to move the crane back from Goa to, say, Delhi. So in that period, that 48 and 60% which we had made would make, in the second quarter, if you see, that crane would be making, or that equipment would be making me, say, 20-24%. The average yield when we write 30-36% is a mixed bag. There is no particular machine that will give you, say, this is the yield or this is the yield. Of course, we are working on it. Definitely, we are looking at what kind of sectors and what kind of machines will be in shortage and what kind of projects are coming up and what kind of demand supply is going to be. This may give us a little advantage. That is why we write sometimes 36-38%. Sometimes we say 20-30%, depending on the particular equipment that is being asked by the market. So we are watching it closely. We are analyzing the demand and supply, and we are analyzing what kind of projects that are being offered to us for giving up machines on rent in the next 2-3 years. So we are always watching ahead of time. We are working with our clients. We are watching the projects that are being announced by the government, and we are working in tandem with it. That longer term projects, supposing hypothetically, I'll detail this more. If we buy a crane right now, like we bought this 150 ton crane, okay? So in our fleet, we have 150 ton, 4 cranes only right now. So 2 cranes, when we bought it, we gave it to Reliance Solar, and Reliance Solar has taken it for 2 years. Now we got another 2 cranes. One has gone to AMNS and one has gone to, that is ArcelorMittal, and the another one has gone to Ultratech. Both of them are a year plus contract. Okay. So now we still don't have 150 ton to offer in the market. So we can again go back and bring more 150 ton cranes. So the longer term projects also helps us buy more cranes, because now we know that we don't have the size to offer in the market. So even if the market doesn't have a shortage, it's a shortage in my own fleet. So I can keep buying those assets again and again. I can go back to the market. I can add more machines more faster. If I'm churning the machines too much between the projects, putting too much of effort, tiring my team and resourcing, adding a lot of resources to one particular crane, then it is a difficult thing for us to, you know, grow faster. So longer term projects, 30-36% of yield is a good place to be in for us.
So it must also lead to higher utilization levels for us. So what would be our current utilization level as of now?
So now around the monsoon, we are doing 80%. Now this month, we already have crossed 85%. And by another 10-15 days, we are looking at 90%. We'll cross 90%. So now the season, as I have written in my presentation also, because of the monsoon, it has prolonged now, right? So you still see rains, you still see storms. The few projects which were hold, and now the client has already given us the order and confirmation. And they have asked us to place it after Diwali. So mid of November, we should be doing around 95%, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, around 95%.
Okay. And regarding our CAPEX guidance, like for this year, as we have already mentioned, that we are guiding 55 to 60 crores. For what about next year, we are targeting for our growth?
See, basically, we have done around 60-65 crores, if I'm not wrong, in 24, financial year 24. This year, the target is around similar in those lines of 60 crores, hypothetical, the ballpark figure I'm giving you. So 60 crores is our target, 55 to 60 crores. So this similar targets we'll be maintaining for the next year also.
Okay, and what is our debt guidance? Like, our debt has also increased significantly, like 50% growth is there in debt. So how are we planning to fund the CAPEX?
We have already announced these warrants, right? So the warrants have been announced. Yeah, so we're doing preferential warrants now. And that is the major source of funds that will be there. Plus, we have term loans which have been lined up with banks, and they are happy to support us with the growing numbers. And of course, the margins become better when we are doing it with our own cash flow. The margins on each crane would be 10-15%. When we are doing it with a preference or warrant, our margins could be 30-35%. And because of that comfort, the bank, even for a smaller company, they are very comfortable working with us going forward also.
Okay, and this last question, sir. And I just wanted to understand the industry dynamics a little, just given how unorganized the market is. How much growth potential does industry still has? Because many players in the industry are announcing backward integration. Like, they're in the like specifically in the renewable sector, many companies are doing backward integration to take their own crits, seeing the high ROCE and everything. So what is the industry scenario as of now?
So the industry, I'll ask post-COVID, earlier before COVID, I would give you, the industry was growing at a 10-15% approximate rate, I would say, and everybody was happy working at that rate of growth earlier. After COVID and after the government, which has been elected second time, there has been a robust growth in infrastructure. And I think every company is looking to minimum growth at around 30% plus right now. And people have achieved those targets. And going forward also for another 4-5 years with the kind of projects which are being announced, and all the companies, the bigger, larger companies than us, their growth percentage would be different. Smaller company like us, our growth percentage would definitely be different, right? So we can easily say that another 5 years roadmap, if you're asking me without even putting the numbers together, because we put the numbers for 2-3 years, but if you ask me for a 5 years roadmap, I think growing at a 25-30% is no big deal for a company size like us.
Okay, great. That's
we have enough room, you know, because we have a smaller company, we have enough room to grow from here.
And just wanted to confirm, all these cranes, high tonnage cranes, are majorly imported from China, right?
Now, yes. Most of the cranes are now being imported from China. China has done a tremendous job in improvising the quality of their cranes. So the Chinese cranes in India, I think it was imported earliest by Reliance. I think if I'm not wrong, it was 2006-07. And those cranes were not manufactured well. So in between, there were gaps. Then Chinese came with different products at different times and they tried to improvise it better and better. But I think after 2011 and 12, they have improvised a lot. In the last 6-7 years, they have improvised and they made the quality. I'm still not saying that they are at the peak quality that a German crane or US crane or Japanese crane would be. But a shell life of a crane, which I would say again add here, is the shell life of a German crane or a Japanese crane would be 25-30 years. These would give around 20 years, 18 years, 20 years easily.
Okay.
So they are doing better. Yeah, they are improvising every day. They're doing better than what they supplied years back.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prisha Shah, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hi. Yes.
Yeah. So my question is that since we see we have right now around 30 cranes with us, and yeah, Morely, which we feel is that this is all larger cranes. So how the dynamics of your business work in terms of number of cranes? Is it more dependent on the cranes you have, or is it more dependent on the kind of projects and the rental yields you have? Because, you know, as a standalone basis, this number looks quite lower, that you have 30 cranes. And also since you are introducing new cranes in your business, which we are seeing in the announcements as well and in the presentation as well, you've mentioned about mid-sized cranes to cater to the new segments. So we wanted to understand how, in terms of your business, this particular thing works, whether we should look for the crane number of cranes you have, or we should look for the kind of projects you are shelling out your cranes into. Thank you.
So for the last thing which you said, we should be looking at the kind of projects we are getting engaged with, the sectors we are getting engaged with, the kind of clients we are engaging with. So one thing is our payments are getting secured with the clientele, the type of clientele we have. Longer term projects, and our costings goes below because our cranes are not moving around, getting transported from one location to the other. And regarding your question, should you see it? Should you see it by the number of cranes? No, I wouldn't say you should be seeing with number of cranes. You should be looking at the capex size and the returns on the investment that we are doing. Because if I say if a smaller crane, if I hypothetical, one crane of 100 metric ton would be costing around 2 crores approximately ballpark plus GST. And if you're looking at 800 ton, it would be costing around 20 crore rupees. Okay, so plus GST. So if I say I added one crane, and if you see that, okay, now Crown has moved from 30 to 31 crane, but if you have to look that the capex has been for 20 crores plus. And wherein if I say I've added 10 cranes, and if I'm doing a business of say 100 ton cranes or 50 ton crane or 150 ton cranes, and I add 10 cranes or 5 cranes, then the number of growth you will think is phenomenal. But don't, in this kind of industry where the capex and the returns is counted on capex and not by the number of cranes. So that would not be the right way of calculating it or looking at it. Does that answer that, or I missed some point?
No, that's really great. It gives a very good clarity on how we should look at your business. Second is that we saw that you mentioned that you also have some third-party crane outsourcers where you manage your fleet. So how does that work? Like optimize that particular arrangement?
No, so what happens is when we are working with third-party contractors, so what hypothetically there is a project, say bullet train project node, I would say. So we get an order for one node, working in one node. Say now we got an order to work at Vashi. Okay, so Vashi, Virar. So Virar is one node for the bullet train project. And they wanted, say, 100-ton four cranes. We have two cranes in our fleet, but the client wants to deal with one person. They said, okay, listen, we will go to deal with one person because for four cranes, we are not going to go to four agencies. So why don't you get some cranes from outside? We have a limitation of buying cranes. We cannot keep buying cranes because we need to have money also at the same time. We need to have infrastructure also for supporting it, right? So we know few players who would want to give us the cranes and say, okay, listen, because we cannot get the order because there are standard practices that we need to follow. So this is our brand new crane. These are our younger cranes. Why don't you help us get the work order for that? So based on that, there's a ballpark figure of 10% commission. So supposing the client is L&T, L&T would say, Kareem, this one crane is coming for 5 lakh rupees. Okay, and we'll give you four cranes order. Now two cranes will go from our fleet and two cranes we will take it from the subcontracted. We'll subcontract it from the market. Third party will be giving us support for that. And when we get it from the third party, so we will be making 50,000 rupees monthly on that crane. And what are we doing is, we are just making them go through our processes and our SOPs. That's the only thing. So we are adding a professional edge. We are getting a contract for them and we are making that much of money. So all the operational side and the expenses of the crane is their cost. It is not our cost. Ours is only networking, that we are giving them a reference. We are giving them an order through us. And our payments also, which orders we give, we always mention it's going to be a back-to-back payment. So we don't actually also involve our cash flow in that. So whenever the payment is coming from L&T, within 72 hours, we are making them the payment. And there's a minimum basic 10% commission with that we are charging them on these smaller size cranes. If supposing there would be 800-ton crane, maybe there would be a 5%. But on these smaller sizes, one, and this is the size where now we are trying to increase our share because we are seeing that we are getting more and more orders. And total in the number, if you're looking, it's going to be a 10 and 15% subcontracting that we are doing right now. Sometimes what happens, the cranes are not ready here. China would say, Kareem, we would give you crane after 2 months because there's a demand and we don't have a supply. So what we do is we would take a subcontract crane, put it on business for say 3 months. By the time we get our cranes, because we know this project is going to last for 1 year and 2 years, so we'll replace those cranes after 3 months and put our own cranes there. So basically it's like a buffer also sometimes for us. That our crane is in work in progress, it's still coming, our funds are supposed to be come, and then we are going to get this crane after 2-3 months. So we will say, okay, what we will do is, there's a great project coming in, we don't have cranes, we are going to put somebody XYZ crane, we make some money on that. We are not actually looking for making it, but we are making some money on that. And then that crane goes off and our crane replaces those cranes. And as I said, these a lot of cranes projects are coming in, the mid-size cranes where we are taking the market cranes. The bigger cranes we don't take generally, the smaller cranes we take where we are now looking to add these cranes. So it helps us, you know, it's like a buffer. So before our cranes come in, we already have an order secured.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavani Somania from Karishma Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, first of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
And, sir, my question was more with respect to the accounting part. Like, I just wanted to know, since you purchased all of the cranes from China, and whatever I know that you have to make the payment upfront. So, I just wanted to know, like, what types of expenses are accounted in trade payments account for your side?
Yes. Okay. So, your question is ended, so I can start.
My question is.
Okay. So what is happening is China, in generally what is they are doing is they when we raise, say, I will give you an example. Okay. So when we raise 10 crore rupees from preference. Okay. Now what we have to do in China, they would give us 2 years of say credit on a particular crane and getting a 2 years credit negotiated with them. So now I have the cash funds with me. Okay. And they don't want to discount this. So they will say, we are not discounting it, take it as a credit. So either I will go by the loan from a bank. But bank says your machine is going to get the Kareem depreciated in 2 years. So I need to start an installment for this. So what does the bank does? The bank will take the funds, say 10 crore rupees or loan. They will book it today itself. Okay. They would put it in the FD. They would charge me, say hypothetically again, 9% interest for a new crane loan. So the loan starts on day one. But at the same time, I'm making interest income on the FDR that they park it because they are not actually paying to the supplier. So I would make an FDR at say 8%. Of course, there's a deduction in income taxes when you make the profit of 8%. So we are getting basically around 6% profit in the interest earnings. But we are paying 9% for the loan. This is one way of doing it. And the second way is when you raise money from preference or we raise money from our own cash flow. And I have my own 10 crore rupees. I would have to go to the bank, make an FDR. Bank will sanction a letter for that and they will give a DO, what we call a delivery order, or the LC. If it's in under import, it will be letter of credit. If it's under India import already by the Chinese company because they have their workshops and parking bays in India also. If I'm buying it from there, ready-made, then I'm not an import, then they will give them a DO. That is domestic LC they will give them. So once the delivery order is given to them, my money is taken by, say, hypothetically, HDFC Bank. They will keep it in the FD and they will open a letter of credit for domestic LC to the supplier. So now you see it as trade payable, but against that you will see an FDR also parked in our name. So most of the trade payables are covered either by loan, that is the bank that are going to give us loan after 2 years, start the loan after 2 years, or via FDRs.
Okay, so what I understood is like you don't have to pay upfront to its supplier, you have to pay to the bank first.
There are two ways, I said. So there are few companies now in China, say hypothetically, I'll give you a name also of the company, the Sany. There's a Sany brand, there's a XCMG brand, So Sany has started discounting it now. So they generally offer 6.5-7% discounted on day one and start the loan or pay us the amount rather than keeping an FDA 8% and then paying income tax of 25-26% and, you know, making 6%. So this is now that they are introducing it. Until now, if they were not introducing, but I have a credit, I don't have to pay them. So I would make the amount as a FDR. And again, that bank will give them a letter. So that goes under trade payable.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh from Chris PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations for great set of numbers. I just wanted to understand one number is out of the total fleet right now, what percentage is for the longer term projects? That is my first question.
Okay, so let me open my sheet. I'll give you an approximately ballpark number on that. So around 60%, 60-65% of our fleet is on the longer term projects, say 1 year plus.
Okay. Perfect. And as utilization will increase, so we have committed, as the utilization will increase in H2, we can see operating margin also play in for us, right?
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Just had these questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chaudhary, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Wanted to understand how sticky are our clients? Like, have we lost any client till date? And what sort of repeat rate do we enjoy with our current clientele? And what is usually the criteria that will probably separate basically what one deciding factor usually a client takes while choosing you versus another peer or vice versa?
Okay, Nikhil, so whatever the clients which we are having since the 40 years of inception, the top A clients which are with us, we have not lost any clients until now. Yes, few of the projects where we had lesser clients, we have not been able to participate completely with them. For example, if some JSW Steel Bellary was doing and they wanted 20 cranes and we could only give 2 cranes, so we would have a loss of business opportunity at that time. But we have not particularly lost any clientele as such. Yes, in the older days when we were a very, very smaller company, 7, 8, 10 years back, and we had private limited companies engaged with us, because that time we were still improvising our systems and processes and we had to work with some smaller private limited companies. We didn't want to work with them. So they have not lost us. We have not lost because their payments were delayed, their projects and their working style were not right. The crane would be engaged in very roughly and the sites were not durable for our cranes. So those kind of clients we have lost over the years. We don't want, it's not the right word to say that we don't want to work with them. But now over the years, we have very good clientele say, a ballpark number of 20-25 clients in which we at this time are not being still able to supply cranes enough to 7-8 of those clients. So even with this kind of fleet and numbers which have come, we are not being able to cater completely to 30-40% of our clients. That's the maximum that we are being engaged with. So that is why we are looking at a higher demand already there from these 20-25 good A group clientele, which I call, and you see it on the list also. And if we want to cater to all this, we'll have to step up faster and we'll have to move faster because the market will be taking the shares from us. So that's part of your question. And can you repeat the second part of the question, which exactly you're asking? Why? How do we differentiate, you said?
So probably if a client wants to choose between you and the other, what is one differentiating factor probably that one usually prefers other than maybe price is there or service? What is it that differentiates you, enables you to get the contract, enables you, the repeat rate is high for you?
So if you see the page of our strength, where we have mentioned four things, okay? So what differentiates is our strength, again, I would say. So there's a strong, I'll read it, those in the presentation, I'll read and I'll brief you on that also. So first thing is strong in-house maintenance support. So we have our team and we have our staff working with us over the years, okay? So every time when there's troubleshooting, there's a lot of help goes from our senior staff, our engineering team, our in-house train team, that they talk over the phone and they will try to maintain the crane on spot rather than having an SOP where, those people have to be sent, the company engineer or our engineer will fly or drive to that site, check the problem. So one is the knowledge, okay? So knowledge we possess in-house maintenance support, we call it the knowledge we possess in maintaining our crane. Like you go to a doctor, online consultation has become easier because now there's online help on the phone. We can have a video call and we can maintain our cranes faster, that everybody could do it. But we have people who understand the problem for this from a distance. That's one thing. The second thing is the quick turnaround time that comes from this. So for clientele, these cranes, when they are booking from us, what happens is what they see, why we say we want to become the preferred and why are we working on it? Because clientele turnaround time is very, very important. When there's a crane breakdown, there's a lot of manpower that is idle. There's a lot of production loss that goes to the client. And that could be in lakhs of rupees, crores of rupees. Okay, over the few days that the crane would be in breakdown. Like when Reliance has a Jamnagar refinery shutdown project, when they're actually changing the filters inside their chimneys, or they're actually cleaning something, or they're changing part of the pipelines. So that shutdown is generally for 15 days, 1 month. Imagine the 1 day production loss of Reliance industry of one section. I'm not saying the whole factory shut, but one sector and one section of it. Now if the crane grows break down from 1 day to say 3 days or 4 days or 5 days, say they lose in lakhs and crores of rupees. So our turnaround time is one of the shortest turnaround time, based again on our knowledge and the expertise and plus the strength of being worked all over India. So we worked in Pan India. So now supposing we are getting a site in even Orissa or Bangalore, we already have tie up with local engineers. Say engine company, say Cummins engine example. So we know an engineer, they're sitting there already, which we have a tie up and we are maintaining our base relation with them. The parts availability in and around the project. So you need to know and have support from outside agencies also wherein your projects are working. You don't have to fly and try everything from Mumbai base because our base is in Mumbai. Even if it is the stock is in our inventory and if the client is facing a loss, we would still buy it from Delhi also because there is a supply already having that part. And we'll have an arrangement either to replace that part with him. So that is one of the way that the shortest turnaround time is the key word here, okay? The shortest turnaround time. And now the cranes are younger and we have modernized our fleet. So the breakdown anyways is going lower. So that is another way why you're preferring, like you, if you are booking a cab. So in that case, even if you see a newer cab, newer features, they have the same price being offered by a driver. Who would be a less experienced person, or the car is not clean or is not well maintained, you would still want to go to the newer one. So we have more experienced, younger staff, modern fleet, experienced people sitting in the back office, training those young staff to go and keep this keyword every time in the client. That okay, Kareem bhai ka crane ya to Crown Lifters ka crane jabhi bhi aata hai, the turnaround time. And that is why we want that, which is our mission statement, that we would be given the most preferred name. We don't want to be the largest here. Of course, we want to grow at a good speed, but at the same time, you want to be the preferred crane supplier. So whenever you know, say this airline is flying, this is the this airline is not delayed, is mostly on time, you still want to book that airline every time, right? So every time you do that, it is that most preferred word and the turnaround time. These are the two keywords we are working on every time.
Okay. No, very well explained. And also, my last question is, you have always grown probably more than 25-30%. Just trying to understand, are we being a bit conservative, like probably in telling that 25-30%? Because we have historically demonstrated higher growth even when you compare yourself with a mid-sized player also. So just trying to understand the growth rate of 25-30%, is it not probably lower that you are estimating?
So when we are giving a guideline, we want to keep it low and we like to surprise the market every time with the numbers we do and the way we are working and the announcement which we are making, the projects we are getting engaged with. Definitely there could be a surprise every time element, every time where the numbers could be much, much better. But when we are saying, I don't want to put a guidance where I'm saying that we would be able to grow at a 50% or a 40% over 10 years. So, because all these projects are backed by the governments, there are state elections that come in between, there are the government elections that come in between. These are the big infrastructure companies. It plays a lot of important role how they perform. There are the sectors, steel, cement, refinery. All these sectors are also influenced by international policies. So, there's a lot of things that goes in this. So, a smooth ride is always to say a number which is very safe, where people expected that, okay, this is a set of numbers we are happy to be with. They want to grow with us at this number. And of course, there should be a surprise element sometimes. Like it's a bonus number that comes up. And we like to surprise, and we, inshallah, would try to surprise as much as possible.
Okay. Thank you so much. Got it. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Barshil from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. Sir, just wanted to understand what is the kind of lead time that we order green and how many days do we get that?
Okay, so actually there are two types of cranes. Now, as I said, the China company have registered as India. They opened the company. They hypothetically zoomed on India Private Limited. So they have a company base here. They have bases in Chennai and they have bases in Mumbai. And I think now they are trying in Kolkata also. So wherein they know the mid-size and smaller cranes are ordered in bulk every time. And I mean, there are continuous requirements of those kind of sizes. So below 2-3 ton cranes, I would say they you still are able to get it in a quick turnaround time of 30 days. So every month there is a vessel that is arriving from China. And every vessel, there are a particular inventory that they've been importing based on their calculations on the project. They also have their numbers, right? The calculation plus based on the experience, how many cranes they have been able to sell. So the smaller cranes, they have been able to order accordingly. And few cranes which are above 250 ton and that, in that you have to order at least 60 days before the project kickoff. Because that shipping time is around 3 to 4 weeks from China. 1 week is the clearance time. Plus their domestic transportation time from their project to their port of Shanghai or wherever they are shipping it from. So minimum 60 days. And when it is a 600 or 800 ton crane, 90 days is a safer side to have. Because sometimes if one of the accessories is also missing in the crane which has not come in time, then you have probably to have to fly that. Or if you're lucky from your own fleet or from their store, if there is some parts you may get but not accessories. So it's always safer to have it 90 days before your the order place. So when you get a delivery in 60 days, you still have that lead room of 30 days.
Got it. Perfect. That helps, sir. And sir, just to confirm, how many cranes have we ordered for this financial year? I guess 30 cranes is what we have as on date with us. And I heard you saying around 6 more cranes that we ordered.
No, so we have already for this this quarter, October, December quarter, we have already ordered 2 cranes, that is 150 ton cranes. Mm-hmm. And we are waiting for this NSC permission. I guess it should be coming today. That's what shows because on their website when we check, probably we should be getting it today or maybe Monday max. So once that permission comes in, then we have already placed in line the term loans from the banks also. Because these are warrants, right? So we'll be getting 25% from the market and the rest would be coming in from the term loan and plus our cash flow. So based on that, there could be at least another four cranes that could be ordered for the next two quarters, I would say, at least.
Yes. And sir, you also said that, you know, 55 to 60 crores is also what we are looking to put up next year as well. So just wanted to have a, you know, understanding ki, okay, next 2 years, how many cranes, you know, Crown Lifters might have in total?
Before in a different question, wherein they asked that how should we look at cranes, either by numbers or by CapEx. So I would always still want you to look at CapEx, because which sector is going to play at what time is very, very important for us. So one, when are we placed? So it is about the placement timing, okay? So it's all about the placement timing. If we have the funds ready, if we have the infrastructure developed at that time, there's one project like we are expecting a Reliance Dahej refinery project to, you know, it's coming up, which is expected post-Diwali to be announced. If that project comes in, it's a 2.5-3 years project, okay? So at that very time, I have my finances ready. I have my expert team ready. We have built our enough infrastructure around that project. So what are we doing is we are tracing projects, and we have already started working on building our infrastructure and our team, because it's a skilled work. It is not an unskilled work that we are doing. It could be an unorganized sector, but it's a skill set of job that we are doing, right? So if you have placed well, it is not a big deal to, you know, even have that 50, 60 crores being done in the first 6 months of the financial year 26. It doesn't have to be everything done in parts and parcels of every quarter. So it depends on the project kick, and it depends on the warrant money which we are going to get in time. And loans, of course, will be backed when there's margins by our side. So as I said again in that first question, that our margins, if it is 10-15%, which comes from our cash flow, then the bankers will be giving us limits accordingly. When it is backed by warrants money also, we will be getting more limits, definitely, because our margins improve. Because we will say to the bank, okay, it's not 15%, we'll give you 30% margin. So of course, that number that the bank becomes comfortable with, and they will be giving us more leverage.
Correct.
So don't look at the number of cranes that are being engaged, look at the capacity that is being engaged. And the timing of announcement and the projects that we announce alongside. Now, because somebody said in the AGM, kindly tell us, you know, what kind of projects these cranes are going. So we added in the statement that these projects are going for AMLS, ArcelorMittal, it's going for UTCL, UltraTech. So see the kind of engagement that we are getting. See the kind of clientele these cranes are going for a longer-term project. See the kind of CapEx we are getting. See the kind of balance sheet change which is happening, which this kind of 27, 26, 27, 26.8, to be specific about the warrant money that is going to come in the company. See that the growth that can happen with that kind of money that's coming as a margin. Because it's not the CapEx that we are going to 100% utilize it as just CapEx. We are going to make it as a margin. We could make it 30% or 25%. That is with the banks that we still are working with. So we can align it with that.
That helps, sir. All right, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karim Jagaria for closing comments.
Thank you very much for attending this first con call. And we are very happy to have you with us. And we will try to do more conferences whenever our results are there. And this would give more confidence and more information to the market and more clarity to the market. And we hope that we all grow together. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. On behalf of Crown Lifters Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.